Welcome to That Eurovision Slice, a podcast about Eurovision with a slice of life. In this series, we delve deep into the Eurovision Song Contest and examine the ins and outs of Europe's favourite TV show. We also share stories of how the contest has shaped us as fans and how the show has impacted our lives. Before this episode starts, be sure to follow us on our social media at That Eurosite. And remember to check out our website for all our coverage of the contest. Now, without further ado, let's get into the discussion. Hello, it's Kittens here. Welcome back to That Eurovision podcast. I am here with the lovely Daniel and the lovely Molly, who it's Molly's first podcast. So everybody give Molly a little mental cheer in your heads. And we are going to be discussing Melodifestivalen 2020. So I think we'll start with what we thought of the show as a whole this year. So we're not going in for any songs yet. We're just talking about Melodifestivalen in 2020. So let's flash back. We are on the verge of COVID. Melodifestivalen is going ahead in arenas. There is no change to the plan at this point. It is going ahead in arenas. It is happening. So we are in 2020. Our eventual winners, we'll come on to them a bit later. But we've just finished with John Lundvik the year before, who makes several appearances in this final show as well. Firstly, what did we think of the show as a whole? Let's go Daniel first.
It feels like watching a car crash playback. Because you know what is going to happen. And yeah. you are powerless to stop it. Because thousands of people are packed into like a 50,000 seater stadium. Packed right next to each other. Or waving around, getting right next to each other. I mean, other than that, it was like a textbook mellow year, I suppose. It will always be a it will be a mellow year with an asterisk next to it. For the rest of time.
it is. Yeah, I definitely felt that watching it. I was just like sitting there kind of going. And obviously Sweden didn't really lock down or anything as a country. They had a lot different COVID rules. And Mellows in March, the world hadn't really shut down then. So, you know, it wasn't really full on the time. It was on the verge. So interesting. But yeah, that shadow hanging over it, like you say, Daniel. Molly, what were your thoughts?
Well, 2020, apart from the whole car crash thing, again, very typical Mellow. It wasn't like my favourite Mellow if I were to rank them. And I'll explain why later when we get into acts. But I feel like, particularly, I think the presenters, they did very well with kind of what they had to deal with COVID and, you know, everybody's trying to figure out, okay, what do we do? What event's going to do? So I think Mellow did well with what they had to do. And however, there were some things that I felt could have been better as well.
Songs, yeah, or the song related?
The song selection, yeah, I'd say.
I mean, I definitely wanted, like you've just said about the presenters, it was a great combination of presenters. I love David Sundin. I think he's so funny because he's so deadpan. I love, he does Taskmaster now in Swedish Taskmaster, which I was...
Are they stealing our show?
Yeah, they have a show, Basti Test, I think it's called.
I've never seen Taskmaster, but I will gatekeep it if someone's stealing it.
Unfortunately, it's on P4 in it's on TV4 in Sweden, so I can't watch it. But yeah, interesting.
Oh, we love geo blocking.
Yeah, Adventures in Geoblocking.
Speaking of Swedish TV things, why do I have to go to like some dodgy YouTube upload to watch Melfest 2020?
We
would love to watch previous Mellows back. Esmete, if on the off chance that somebody hands you this podcast, give us a Mellow archive.
Please.
We would love that.
That'll be great.
Please.
So it's like you can go back and watch pretty much every MGP on the NRK website, dating back to the 1960s. And Mellow is basically better MGP. So why aren't you doing that?
It's a disappointment, Esfeta. Come on, pull the finger out. We would love to see a Mellow archive. This is an important cultural show in your calendar. Yeah. Come on.
It would also be very on brand for them to do that.
Yeah.
Like, they've got a Mellowpedia. Why don't you have a Mellow archive?
I think Mellowpedia is sort of an official, unofficial project in a kind of weird way. But equally, Mellow is... Your Mellow is a long-running show with a lot of content that it produces every year. It would be so good to have that archive.
There's a lot of people...
But, you know... Sorry, go on.
No, there was something else I wanted to add as well that I forgot to add, but also Mellow has a lot of fans now that are following it that would love to just watch it back, so the fact that they don't have that archive there is just criminal.
Including really like older shows as well, like
yeah.
older shows, considering Mellow has a significant history. It would be, I would love to, like, I think Mellow has always had this problem with archiving its material. Let's talk about our favourites and least favourites. So, Molly, I can see you are, like, champing at the bit to go. Go for it.
So, it's Mohambe. I loved Winner. Sort of, like, I think the problem this year had was that the camera angles and the staging was very wide, so a lot of It was a good thing and a bad thing at the same time, because it challenges performers to use the space creatively, but also it also when it doesn't help them, because if they want like a big stage, like a big production, they can't really do that because the stage is really awkward. And I think Mohambe did something where it's focused in a lot and sort of helped with that. And there was so much dynamicness to the performing. The song was great. It's commercial. It does well. It's Mohambe's like a surviving. I know commercial isn't always great, but it's also good to understand that having that really helps hit to a general audience if you were to go to Eurovision. And then Dotter as well. I liked Bulletproof, however I'm a little bit on it, but I'd say it's kind of a favourite. I like the staging. The song is meh for me, but the staging and the way she uses the outfits and the lighting was really good. And I'd say her vocals weren't bad either to accompany it, so she made the song work in a way.
I've got Dotter in a like, very reluctant second place in I like this better than most of the other songs. But you are Dotter, you can do so much better. You have done so much better in most of your other songs. Like, she's my like number 23 most streamed artist this year. It's not because of her Mellow entries, it's because of her other music, which is all so much better than the stuff she puts at Mellow. That was my second place. I will start with my top five.
We're getting a high five. Let's go.
It's purely because there aren't that many songs this year I like. Fifth place. I think people would expect me to like her, but Linda Bengtzing, I just love. She's just like pure chaos in a fun way. Sort of like Herbjork 2010 drunk concert at a wedding vibes.
She's very
everyone's
the mum vote. The mum vote, yeah. But there were other artists also which were the mum vote, but this was probably one of the better of those.
If you look at like the songs I like in Melfest and how they go down with the age demographics, I am the mum vote.
Yeah,
I
you
like
are.
This.
You are expressly the mum vote.
fourth place, Anna Bergendahl, Kingdom Come. It's good, but nowhere near as good as the OG people think it is. Like, it's fine. It's not perfect. It surely shouldn't have won all the things it did in the fandom. It's not Anna Bergendahl's best medal entry, but it will give me the one of the best memories from Malmö this year. Tim squealing like a pig when it came on at the Sips party, just for it to be immediately skipped. That was incredible.
I mean, Kingdom Come in particular of Anna Bergendahl's entries does have this kind of cult status.
I don't get it.
I mean, it's a good song. It's a decent song, but it's not an exemplary song.
But in certain sections of the fandom, it's up there with like Kaino, and they are like gods to that section of the fandom.
Mm.
So third, the Mamas, which, looking at back, so obvious that they won, because why on earth would they not with a performance like that? You can not like the song. It's not my favourite song. But it was the best performance. Nobody can argue that. Kittens might.
Oh, no. No, actually. Rough. Like, no. I have no beef. This is one of the few years of... Yeah. I generally don't like what actually gets sent at Mellow, but I do enjoy Mellow. And I think it was the more obvious winner.
Yeah.
Because I think that Bulletproof was nice, but it did not have the impact that it should have done to match the staging. The staging was amazing. The performance was good for like Bulletproof, but I think people, like, there were a lot of people who thought Bulletproof was automatic, that that was going to go through regardless. That was going to be the winner. And I think a lot of people kind of underestimated the Mamas a bit on that front. I think this was one of the first Mellow shows I watched kind of as part of the fandom, effectively. And the momentum around Dota completely ignored what was happening with the Mamas. And Mamas just having that wide appeal across, you know, when we've got to talk about it, age brackets. You know, having that wide appeal across age brackets is, you know, It's how to win Mellow.
Yeah.
We can argue about why or why not age brackets is a good thing at another date, but that could be a whole podcast.
The answer is that they're brilliant when they benefit my favourites. Yeah. They're terrible when they don't. And I posed this question to you in the planning chat. So what do you think my number one is?
I think I have an idea.
Molly, if you have the idea.
I think it's the country one. I'm not very good with names, but I think it's the country one.
I wonder if it's the one that I wrote Daniel Fodder on.
Right, is that one Sonja Alden?
No, it is not.
What is it?
the duet. Ellen Benediktsson and Simon Palin.
That is way down in my rankings.
I was that's Daniel Fodder.
It is Drangana with Pika Okadrang. Because it's just... I like to think I'm like fairly consistent with my taste. Like, you can say it's good, you can say it's bad. Usually it's fairly consistent. Then something like this comes along and just completely blows it up.
But equally, you do like a chanty party banger.
Yeah.
You are like a ballads man, but you can't resist a chanty party banger.
Like,
what happens to you when Europapa comes on.
Yeah.
I don't blame you. Europapa is a bop.
I'm signed up to, I think, all of the Mellow podcasts through 2020 through 2024. So I'm going to criticise Jimmy Jansen a lot through that period, and it all of it will be deserved, but this is great. It's objectively not great. Like, if I'm gonna be
into the category of stuff like Fold Effect, which is both terrible and amazing,
and the terribleness absolutely contributes to how amazing it is, because it's like a medieval inspired dance band thing. And what? Why? But it works.
I mean, it's oddly catchy. It's just it's got something.
It is a perfect song to get up and do a silly little jig. And sometimes that is what you need in a metal song.
It is sometimes. They never make it through properly anywhere, but you know, they do the best. My number one that nobody has mentioned. And this was the first song I was ever fully obsessed with in Mello. Is Vem Essa Moss. I love this song. I think it has brilliant staging. I love the bit at the end where it comes upon the screen and it's like, you know, Anis will wear a rainbow jumpsuit in Rotterdam or whatever. It is absolutely my favourite. One of my favourite Mello songs probably ever as well. And it's just silly and good fun. And I love that Anis Don Domina keeps returning to Mello. I mean, obviously we saw him like turn up in like Shuffler and stuff like that. I love that he kind of keeps doing stuff. He's just a lot of fun. He's also, you know, if you haven't checked it out, he's also on the EP got a song with Daughter and with Måns Zelmerlöw. So he has an EP with some great songs. And obviously he came back 2021 and did the Stardew Youth cover as well with my boy Oscar Zia.
We're not talking about that.
No, we're not, but it's all,
blame
you
the
know,
UK train system.
All connected. But, you know, I mean, I also wanted to talk about, and I'm not sure if this is in a good way or a bad way, but it's iconic. Nanna Grönvall. I feel like we have to talk about Carpool Karaoke because it is terrible.
Do we?
It's terrible. It's terrible. Schlager.
What I'll give you, it's not my last place.
And, like, I was reminded about the whole thing about James Corden hearing this song and she never making it to, like, to appear on his show because of, you know, the whole COVID thing. But yeah, I remember hearing about James Corden, like, hearing this song where he's name-checked in Swedish and just being like, what the hell is going on in my life? Which is a very valid point, I feel, even if you're James Corden. It's terrible. It's absolutely... The whole thing is terrible, but in the best possible way. Nanna Grönvall is an icon, and you know, I don't think you can argue that this song is the worst song ever, and I will 100% agree. I can also argue that if it went on in a club, I would be going absolutely tearing up the walls because it's so silly. Like, I don't think overall, so let's talk overall about songs at this point. I don't think overall, this was a good year for Mello with songs.
If I look through the notes I took for the 12 in the final, I think that's a half point, maybe four and a half of the 12. My opinion was positive, which is low.
Yeah, normally Mello comes together.
I don't like a lot of Mello things. It's usually way higher than that still.
The thing is, normally Mello is terrible when the heats are announced and comes together in the final. So they shook off most of the chaff. There's normally one or two songs which are terrible, which make it through anyway, but that's a consequence of the system. But this year, I don't feel like there was...
I can't even think of a name to scoff.
I made a note, and a funny one, that John Jansen's one, the second one, sounded like Bigger Than Us from the UK's entry.
Yeah.
That was a Swedish song. It's probably the same one.
I don't think that
like,
this
like
was...
Bigger Than Us and that just like came from like the same kebab stick of songs. And we scrape off Bigger Than Us, we scrape off whatever that was. I'm like, that was a solo G-Son entry.
I mean, this was even at a time when we had slightly less Geirson, Jansson, Debs, time. Now we have 10 times more that, or at least it feels like it. And I don't think it was a premium year. The right song won, in my opinion, but I don't think it was a great selection. There were a lot of weak songs in the final. I did not need Victor Crane, Paul Ray, and Felix Sandman, and Robin Bengtsson to all appear with an extremely middle-of-the-road song.
I would
cancelled each other out.
Quantify two of those as middle-of-the-road, because two of them didn't even get onto the road.
Do we need to talk about Boys With Emotions? Because I feel like...
Fuck off, we need to talk about Boys With Emotions.
Look, I remember at the time being very irrationally angry at
Boys With Emotions. I am angry at this song. I am convinced this is what caused COVID. Why? Felix Sandman, he was my first place of Mellow 2018. And in 2020, I have a 1 to 100 system. This was a 1 out of 100, Boys With Emotions. Because it's called Boys With Emotions. Where are the emotions? This boy does not have emotion. He's just doing a weird dance and singing Boys With Emotions. Trying not to show them.
And they succeeded at the not showing anything.
Every single day, that was a boy with emotions.
Every single day is probably one of the ultimate breakup songs.
Yeah.
Ever. It is amazing that is, breakup song.
That is prime sad boy music.
But Boys With Emotions.
Is it the same boy?
The only thing.
It certainly doesn't sound like it.
The only thing Boys With Emotions has going for it is that the visuals are cute. And that is a push. The problem is that these four lads, Bengtsson, Karana, Felix Sandman and Paul Ray, are on paper absolutely the kind of Swedish pop boy thing that I enjoy. And all of them did, in my brain, were terrible this year. Just dire. I mean, we know that Robin Bengtsson has since become even worse, but we'll pass that on.
The worst part is contrast it to Every Single Day, which it's everything Boys With Emotions is not. It's melodic, it's powerful, it's low-key, it's very different to something that a pop boy like him would normally send.
I mean,
you're not going to expect that from pop boy number three. You're going to expect Boys With Emotions from pop boy number three. I'm a boy, the emotions this makes me feel is anger, hatred, disgust, and secondhand embarrassment.
This was
one of three songs that I described as musical terrorism. So,
yeah, I'm going to need to know the other two.
Robin Bengtsson, of course. And Vamos Amigos.
Oh no, I don't think you can be mad at Vamos Amigos.
I can be mad at Vamos Amigos because
because
Alvaro let that this god awful genre of Scandinavian folk Latin music die.
The thing is, I've got no argument with that kind of music being used in, but I thought it was quite fun. I just thought it didn't have an impact.
And this is the least offensive Alvaro Estrella entries of the early 2020s.
Y'all gonna hate me about my notes for Boys of Devotion.
Oh god, Molly, start the fight, start the fight.
2020, 2021 was worse. I will get into whatever the fuck it was called in Alvaro Estrella 2021, in the 2021 one. Because that is worse than this one. And this is the worst thing you
should... Let the girl tell us okay, what's wrong okay. about Boys with Emotions, come
I
on.
I said the song is good, very good staging, however there could be more variety within the song.
Are you saying... Boys with Emotions, trying not to share them. It's not variety.
I'm just saying, they could have picked a better song, but the staging was fine from what I remember.
Yeah, like, the staging is fine. Like, I don't think... Like, that is the best bit of Boys with Emotions. The camera tricks with the words and stuff.
I thought the best bit was the end.
That was very cute. Right. Now we have argued our...
I'd actually like to play a game quickly, or guess the song based on my notes.
Oh yeah, go on. Quickly.
This is terrible. Why are you yelling?
This is terrible. Why are you yelling, Hannah Fenn?
Robin Banks.
Oh. Go on.
Let's see. Getting close to being a good song, but doesn't quite manage it.
Mariette?
No.
Molly, do you want to guess?
If it's about winners.
I will tell you, winners I describe as H&M music.
Jail.
And the Mariette one was perfectly fine, wouldn't turn it off if it came on, which is a high compliment compared to some of these. And I forgot to mention earlier, Aniston Demeanor, I will not stream that song, I will dance to that song when it comes on in a Euroglove.
It's great.
Which is a very good place to be.
Shall we quickly have a talk about the winner?
Oh yeah.
I know we have talked about. We obviously can't talk about how we think it would, how it would have done, how it did at Eurovision. We can talk about how we think it might have done in 2020.
Fine, I suppose.
I mean, the problem is, I think what else was offered in that year, and I don't think it would have been. No, it would probably have been top 10, top 15. Mm. I love them as performers. I love their outfits. I love the performance. Do I think it would have got lost?
They can really, really sing.
They can really, really sing. Do I think it might have got lost to actual Eurovision? Probably. It's a bit of a shame. But... We will never know how well it would have done, so we will have to leave that mystery.
I think
wherever we want it to have went, that's where it came. That's why I send Deodato into Angus's winners spreadsheet every time.
I think personally, the Mamas wasn't my most. They were like top. They were probably like third in like. Well, actually second. They're above Donna, but I feel like there was better options there because the stage. Because again, they were very good singers. It's just the song didn't hit with me personally, and maybe that's just down to personal taste. But I think the staging was just very like what you get from like a ballad, usual ballad type stuff. There needed to be something new that entered in there, and I think again something like Donna or winners could have been commercial hit in there as well, could have been that commercial hit. And I know it's not always great to go commercial, but sometimes that does help boost the odds a little bit more, I personally think. So I personally think it was great performance, great, like, their vocals were amazing. I put the Muses from Hercules, which is great inspiration there.
Yeah, yeah, no, I totally get that. I totally feel that.
Yeah, I feel, I think 2020 was a very weak year for artists, but I feel like there were some that were better than what won, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say, obviously. Like, I personally, I love this performance. I love that it's really quite simple, but I don't, you know, I'm not going out there specifically to stream the song or anything like that. I think it was really good, really slick. And this is the Mellow problem, creating very slick, very commercial, very hits all the boxes content that might be a hit, but is it going to win at Eurovision? And I think for a long time, Mellow has had a problem between what is going to be a hit for them and what is going to be commercial success and what is going to do well at Eurovision. And we'll come to more of that as we work our way through Melody Festivalens, which we're going to be doing over the next however many podcasts of these we do. Any final thoughts before we wrap up?
It's not really related to Mellow, but I just pulled up the Eurovision 2020 Wikipedia page, and I'm glad it got cancelled, because I did not want to sit through that second semi-final with all of those that are in it, half of which are my favourites, which would have gone out.
It's a funny old year, and we are, like I said, we are always going to be in limbo with it. We are never going to know.
At least so won.
When it comes to Eurovision 2020, I feel like it being delayed gave artists a chance to sort of backtrack and sort of rethink and then go in stronger for 2021, in my personal opinion. I know we're not talking about Eurovision 2020, but I thought I'd just bring it in there.
Shame the mammoths didn't come back stronger.
Exactly.
But that's for the next podcast.
They came back more in the middle. No, yes. Anyway, we have the one thing it did was free us from the terror of John Lundvig, so at least we had that.
The first thing I wrote was John Lundvig looked jump scare.
Yeah, the fact that he was literally the first thing on, terrifying. Terrifying. Anyway, that was our roundup of Melody Festival in 2020. Do you agree? Do you not agree? Do you wish to argue with us on the internet? Please do. We would like the engagement. If you enjoyed the podcast, please do let us know. And of course, please do follow that Eurovision podcast if you're not doing so already. All that remains for us to say is goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. See you on the next one. Bye.